But would you turn with me this morning to Psalm 105? Every year here at Winter Park Christian, the last Sunday of every year, we set apart as a Sunday of praise to Almighty God for all that He has done in our lives in the year 2015. How many know God has done a lot this last year? How many know we tend to forget all that God's done this last year? That's why in this particular verse, it calls us to remember. Actually, over 300 times in the Bible, this word remember is used, because God knows we tend to forget. Here in Psalm 105, verse 1 says, O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing praise to Him. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him and tell of all His wondrous works. Notice an exclamation point after every one of these passages. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done. Boy, that's our God. So here in this passage of Scripture, it's guiding and directing us to give thanks to the Lord and to make known His deeds among the nations. One of the greatest privileges we have as Christians is telling others about the wonderful things that God has done for us. It's like when Jesus healed the blind man and the Pharisees were coming to the blind man and saying, what are you talking about? This Nazarene doesn't do miracles, you know, and how come you're saying this? And the blind man said, I don't know what to tell you. All I can say is, once I was blind and now I can see. It's just, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. It's our testimony. Our testimony is not only how we came to Christ, it's what He's done since in our life. And this last year, He has done a ton in our fellowship and in our church. So we're going to recount some of those things this morning. And I'm sure those of you who are visiting, you can do the same thing with the churches that you come from too. And as Hal said, isn't it great to find Christians even at 10,000 feet? This last year, in our church, we started studying the book of Ephesians. We have taken it verse by verse, and we've arrived at chapter 4. The book of Ephesians has 6 chapters in it, and as we've said many times, the first 3 chapters of Ephesians that we've studied this year tell us about everything God has already given us, everything we have as Christians, that He's given us as a gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. We didn't achieve it. It was given to us as a gift, His grace, His love. We learned that all through the first 3 chapters. Then we started Ephesians chapter 4 in about November, and now we're going to look at the second 3 chapters. The first 3 chapters tell us everything we have in Christ. The second 3 chapters tell us what God wants us to do with everything that we have in Him. And that's the way the book of Ephesians is split in the 6 chapters. And so this coming year, we're going to learn about how God wants to live His life through us, how Jesus wants to live His life through us, how He wants to display His splendor to the world and to Satan and his demons. We're going to learn all about that here in this coming year. It's been a tremendous study for us. But we learned last year, here's some just a couple highlights that we learned last year going through the book of Ephesians. Number one, Ephesians begins with the fact that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Wow. I mean, just thinking about that, every blessing in the heavenly places, God has already given us as Christians. What does that mean? That means we have everything we need in Christ to live the life He wants us to live. Everything we need to face everyday's challenges, God has already given to us. So the road of the Christian, the path of the Christian, is a road to discover all that God has already given us. The Bible says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's already given us these things. So as we started off last January saying, you know, oftentimes we are praying and asking God for things that He's already given us. So that's why it's important to understand the book of Ephesians, to understand our identity, to understand who we are and what we have in Christ. And as we do that, every day is a great day, regardless of what's going on in our life, because nothing God has given us can ever be taken away. Amen? And it goes on to say, He's not only given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, but we are chosen in Him, predestined by Him. I can't even get my theological arms around that. But that's what the Bible says. Chosen before the foundation of the earth. You know, how many of you, when you were young and in grade school, liked to be chosen for a team? How many didn't ever get chosen for teams? You know, Red Rover, send Dougie on over, you know, and those kind of things, you know. And when the captains would select me, I'd go, oh, well, they want me on their team. Are you kidding me? You know, but God has chosen us to be his very own. And he didn't choose us because we were better than anybody. I'm talking to Christians here, born-again Christians. Because we were better than anybody else, or because we were cute, or because we were lovable, or because we were easy to work with. You know, how many of us know we're not easy to work with? Okay? If you think somebody's easy to work with, ask their spouse about it. Okay? Anyway. But we're not the greatest. Turn with me. Hold your finger in Psalm 105. Go to the New Testament with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 gives us the characteristics of those whom God has called to be his own. These are the characteristics of a Christian that God has chosen. You're going to find we are not necessarily the cream of the crop here. For consider your calling, verse 26, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So this is us, foolish, weak, not much going for us, and God calls us into his kingdom. Now, not too many of us look at ourselves that way, but that's how we really are. You know, God blessed us in bringing us into his home and into his family. And it says, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. In other words, it was not of our own doing. God wanted us to be in his family, and he brought us in. Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him, and God did do that. And this last year, we had several people give their lives to the Lord in our church, and I never lose the wonder of a changed life when God's Holy Spirit comes into a person and they are born again. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. So that's what we learned in Ephesians. Also in Ephesians, we learned that in Christ we have redemption. And last year, if you remember, in order to understand redemption, we have to understand slavery. Because to redeem means to buy out of slavery. If we don't understand how enslaved we were to our sinful passions, enslaved to the enemy, enslaved to our own self-centered, narcissistic, self-promoting, self-serving natures, if we didn't understand that, we won't understand the power of redemption. God redeemed us out of slavery and made us free. He whom the Son sets free is what? Free? Indeed. Yeah, and that's what we have. We could see that in the book of Ephesians last year. We have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins, freedom from guilt. Every human being has a latent guilt in us because of our separation from God. And we try to get rid of that in many ways, but only the blood of Jesus can remove the guilt of sin so that we can come into the presence of God. We also learned about this tremendous inheritance that God has waiting for us in heaven. We have an inheritance in heaven, and we learned that in the book of Ephesians. In 1 Peter, Peter also talked about this. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Peter says, according to the mercy of God, he has caused us to be born again. God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We have an inheritance kept in heaven that is imperishable, that nothing can touch, nothing can diminish, not the stock market, not the government, not world crisis, not my attitude. Nothing can diminish the inheritance that we have because it is a gift from God. How many know an inheritance is a gift? You don't earn an inheritance. Usually you have an inheritance because of the way you're born. You're born into the family. You really had nothing to do with it. That's an inheritance, and God has given this as a gift to us. Did we deserve it? No. Can we enjoy it? Yes. How many think that if we understood the inheritance that God has given us in heaven, we'd live our life differently here on earth? When God talks about inheritance, it's huge. We have that, and we were learning that last year. God has given us His Holy Spirit as a guarantee of this place with Him throughout all eternity. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We learned that we have insight into God's Word because of the Holy Spirit. He guides us into all truth. We would not be able to understand this Bible if it were not for the Holy Spirit. It'd be foolishness to us. I don't know about you. I did not read the Bible before I was a Christian. It didn't make any sense to me. I used to go into the jail. Now we have a jail ministry here, but for the first 7 or 8 years I went in, and I love going into jails and doing Bible studies. And one time I went into the jail, and about 8 or 9 guys came in. And if you know anything about jails, sometimes there is an alpha inmate that rules the roost. And this guy was the alpha inmate. We always had great Bible studies, but when this guy walked in, he was a lifer. He had been in the penitentiary. He was waiting to be extradited. And he came in, and no one would say anything with this guy there because he would razz them when they got back or beat him up or something. And so this guy, I start the Bible study, and he stops me and he shoves his Bible over to me and he says, "That book is full of contradictions. That's not true. I've read that book over and over again. You're feeding these guys a bunch of blankety blank here." And you know how God sometimes gives you the thing to say right when you need it? And I said, "Friend," I said, "that's God's love letter to His children. That's what you get for reading somebody else's mail." And he looked at me. He pulls the Bible back over. We went on with the Bible study. About 4 weeks later, that guy gave his life to Christ. We became great friends. In fact, I took all of his stuff. I had it in my garage for a long time because he got extradited. He's a lifer. But what a blessing, right? It's God's love letter to us. We wouldn't be able to understand it if we weren't His kids. Praise God for that. Have you ever thanked God for being able to understand His Word? That's a gift from Him. We learned about God's purpose in our life. We've experienced grace. God has saved us by grace, not of our own doing. It's a gift from God, the new life that He's given us. We are born again. We are new creations in Him. If any man's in Christ, again, everything in Ephesians is in Jesus, not in church, not in religion, but in Christ. We have all these things. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We were learning about this all last year. We have purpose here on earth. By God's grace, it says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2:10. So, He's got a plan for us. He's got a reason for us to live. There's a reason for us to be here every day. How many are glad about that? You know, in 37 years of pastoring, this is the first year that I've had two people come to me who had terminal cancer, and they wanted to talk to me about right to die issues. I don't want my family to have to take care of me. So what does the Bible say about me just checking out early? You know what the Bible says about that? You can't do that. God is the giver and taker of life. In Ecclesiastes, it says there is a time to live and a time to die, ordained by God. In Matthew chapter 6, Luke chapter 12, many passages, Jesus said, "Who of you by worrying can add one day to your span of life?" In Psalm 139, it says, "The number of days God chooses for us to live on earth has been predetermined before we're even born." So life and death are in the hands of God. But there is such a big rise in awareness of states like Oregon and countries like Switzerland, where people can go there. You know, in Switzerland, the saying there is you can arrive in Switzerland in the morning on vacation, and you can be dead by evening. Because they just right to die, physician-assisted suicide is just all you got to do is pay the $1,200 and you're done there. Our state senator, Randy Bumgarner, who comes to our church, he's a part of our body, he's one of our state senators, just told me between services here, he says, "Pray for me." He says, "We have a lot of big issues before our state senate right now. And one of the biggest issues is the right to die legislation that's coming down the pike. We got to pray for our leaders and our politicians and pray for Randy and others there that are really, they're godly and they want to hold the God standard. Yeah, we have a purpose here on earth. And when I talk to these individuals about wanting to check out early, I said, what does your family think about that? They say, oh, no, they want to take care of me. And of course they do. That's what we should do. You know, that's life. Taking care of those, if there's an illness, if there's a disability, if there's old age, we're called to care for one another. But in our nation, in America, we are so me-centered. It's about my life. We don't like the inconvenience of taking care of somebody else as a cultural mindset. Praise God, that's not true in the church. Amen? All right, a few more of us are there. All right. Yeah. Freely you've received, freely give. We are here to serve others. Our purpose here on this earth every day is not for our own benefit alone. God blesses our lives, but He blesses us in order to be a blessing to others, to give, to be involved in the lives of others. And we're learning that. We've been learning that through the book of Ephesians this last year. We have power over Satan and all the demonic forces in the invisible world. Ephesians reveals a lot of that to us. God's going to display His power, His wisdom through the church to the powers and principalities of the air. We can't even begin to comprehend that. But there's a whole lot going on right now than us just sitting here. There's a whole realm of the invisible where God's angels are around, as God's word reveals that, as the hills are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people. And we can't even begin to comprehend what's going on as God's protecting us and guarding us and speaking to us and guiding us. We have that as Christians, and it is a gift from God. The life we have is a gift from God. And, it says in Ephesians 1:18 and 19, Paul said, O Lord, open the eyes of your people. Please, open the eyes of the church, that they might be able to understand the hope to which you've called us and the glorious inheritance we have in the saints. God has given us an inheritance in heaven waiting for us, but He's also given us part of that inheritance here on earth. And you know what that inheritance is? In the church. In the church. That's where we have the friendships. That's where we have the fellowship. That's where we can pray for one another. That's where we see needs met in the body of Christ. That's where we have opportunities to serve and discover our spiritual gifts. That's where we have opportunities to be mentored and taught by others so that we can disciple others also. We have this great inheritance of life in the church. And as we said last year, people who distance themselves from the church rob themselves of their inheritance here on earth. They rob themselves of that. Yeah, the church, there are issues in the church, problems in the church. There's no perfect church, right? Right? No perfect church. If you're ever looking for a perfect church, when you get there, it won't be perfect anymore, right? I mean, there is no perfect church. We can choose our friends, we can't choose our family. God chooses our family. And I believe, in the 41 years I've been a Christian, God puts people around me in the church that are like sandpaper. They just sand off the rough edges in my life. You know? And sometimes a little bit of friction. But that's what families are. We had six children. We have six children. Raised six children. And when all six were in the house, we noticed that among the kids, there's this subculture going on in the house. Things are going on that we can't really understand, the ways they're looking at each other and talking to each other. They got a whole system going on there, all right? A little subculture. So whenever we could see, Marty and I could see that there were problems in the family, we would call a family council. And whenever I called the family council, all plans stopped. I don't care if you had plans to go to a movie, going with your friends, going to a ball game. When Marty and I felt like we needed a family council, everybody came together and we worked through those issues. Because we're family. You can't check out of your family, okay? And we had to work through forgiveness, and we had to work through talking. And sometimes the kids would say, well, we got an issue with you guys, Mom and Dad. Oh, you do? What's your issue? Well, we don't think you're fair in what you're doing here. So we'd talk those things out. Those were our family councils. They were great times. But that's what we have in the church. We're a family. So we work things out through confession, through forgiveness, through reconciliation, through love, through patience. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 4, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We already have the unity of the Spirit because we're Christians, talking to Christians, we all have God's Holy Spirit living within us. We have the unity of the Spirit. We need to be eager to maintain it, all right? because Satan's working overtime to divide the body of Christ. All these things we've learned just this last year, 2015, kind of just recapping. And in chapter 4, where we were in November, and we're going to be really looking into this coming year, God says, now that you know all that I've given you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Now live it out. And he tells us exactly how to do that in the next 3 chapters. So it's going to be an exciting year. Make known his deeds, Psalm 105, among the peoples and tell of his wondrous works. How is God doing that through our body here at Winter Park Christian? Well, many ways. One of the ways is that there were many people this last year that gave their lives to Christ. And we had several baptisms, and baptism is a powerful time. If you have not been baptized, we're going to be doing that again here the first of the year. But Matthew chapter 28 says, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So we believe that baptism follows belief. It is given to people who want to be a follower of Christ. Go make disciples and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them to observe or to obey all I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so that's discipleship. We come to Christ, we're baptized, identifying with his death and resurrection, and then we learn the word of God. How do you want me to live? We baptized 17 people this last year. And as you notice, we don't have a baptismal here. We use any place where there's water. We use ranch ponds. We use horse troughs. We use hot tubs. We use rivers. Wherever there's water, that's where we baptize. I mean, that's just 2015. That's 2015. Wow, 1 year. All these things have been happening. Isn't God great? And we've had a few people have given their lives to the Lord since, so we're going to be having another baptism coming up here probably the end of January. And if you've never been baptized, you need to get baptized. Believe and be baptized, Jesus said. So, powerful. Another thing, too, last year, we are very committed to foreign missions. The scriptures say, declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all people. And so we support about 7 missionaries out in the world, and we've been supporting some of them for many years. And this last year, 2015, they all happened, all but one, happened to be here in Colorado. And so if you remember, they came in the month of September. Every week we had a different missionary coming and sharing with us, so we got to see our missionaries as they came back home. We receive every Christmas, we receive a special offering for our missionaries just to bless them around Christmas time, kind of a bonus in their support. And we had the biggest offering we've ever had this year, $9,000, that we were able to divide between those missionaries. And they got a great check, which was huge and very, very encouraging to them. So thank you for your generosity in giving to that. We also had some short-term missions last year. Pastor Samuel, who is over there, yep, right there, took a group to Mexico. We've gone about, 5 or 6 trips down there. We've taken people, 6 times, to an orphanage, a nursing home down there, and we've been able to do a lot to help them. We're really the only church from America working in that particular area, only gringos down over there. But it's a blessing to, and some of them wonder why a church in Colorado would even think about them. But God gives us a love for people, and we want to see his glory and the message of the gospel to the nations. And so we've been able to go short-term missions down there, helping that. And we're going to be taking another group of people in March down to Mexico to help further with that ministry down there. Also, Glenn Chambers he's back there, the sound booth. He's our missions coordinator. And I tell people we're trying to get him retired so he can get refired. And he's doing a great job with our missionaries. But he goes to Thailand every year. You said this is your 6th year going in January. And what we do, and he's taking teams of people with him. We go to the CAF conference, the Central Asian Fellowship, with missionaries that serve in Asia. And they come to a conference for renewal and strength. And we have sent teams over to watch their children for the week and be a blessing to them that way. And so talk to Glenn about that. We also have this coming June. And we're taking a group of people from our church to Nepal, Kathmandu, Nepal, to help with earthquake relief. And that's through our missionary, Gil Nash. And we're starting to put that together now. You're going to be hearing more about that. But if you'd like to take 2 weeks out of your June to go to Nepal and help with earthquake relief, it will be a tremendous life-changing experience. I've been to Kathmandu, Nepal, when I went over to visit Gil and Karen. It's really a fascinating place, and God has a good work going there. Very dark spiritually, but there's a lot of light in the church. And we'll be working through the Nepalese churches there. So that's all just this last year what we've had. Also, local outreaches. Jesus, when the church was born in the book of Acts, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we start where we live, and not only are we committed to the foreign field, but we're committed to local missions and local mission outreaches to be actively involved in the needs of the people that are here in Grand County, and there are a lot of them. Jesus said, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the people said, when did we do this to you? And he said, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. So God wants us to be actively involved in the needs around us. So we've been able to do that several ways. One, we have a ministry called Helping Hands, and that's headed up by Dan Osborne. And that ministry is basically primarily to help widows and single moms with different physical things they have, fix-ups of their cars and their houses. And we don't do room additions. We don't build houses. But anything that doesn't require a building permit, we'll go in and help with. But that's a great ministry. And also Helping Hands, every year, we cut firewood. That's a real need up here in Grand County, because you know how cold it was this morning. And there are some people who really don't have a lot of firewood. So as a church, we gather together, and we did this again this last year. And we have generous brothers in Christ who bring us semi-loads of logs. And we got chainsaws going. We block them. We split them. We stack them about 20 cords a year. And then anyone who needs wood just comes and takes it. And if you know somebody up here in Grand County, if you need firewood or you know somebody who needs firewood, it's right out here. Take what you need, okay? And it's a blessing. It's a ministry to the people up here. It's one thing unique to our area. Yes? Oh, it's gone. I didn't realize that. I haven't checked. It's already gone. Wow. It usually lasts till the end of January. It didn't even last that long this year. Okay. All right. Well, you can't go get any more. It's already gone. We got to do 40 cords next year. But Dan does a great job with that. Also, Joyful Givers. Bill Housley back here in the back. He's the chief of police of Granby. And we participate with Bill in helping families have a Christmas, helping families have a Christmas. And so Joyful Givers, I don't know how many families you're able to give this year to. How many? 90 families. So we were able to give those gifts out. Praise God. How many gifts was that to 90 families? 700 or 800 gifts we were able to give. And so that's we participate with many other churches up here and different people. But what a blessing that is to make Christmas special for needy families up here in Grand County. Bill, you do a great job of coordinating that. Also, we started a new ministry last year called Celebrate Recovery. We're not even 1 year long in this ministry, and it has had a powerful impact on a lot of people already. And it's going to be a great outreach to this community. Anybody with hurts, hang-ups, or habits qualify for Celebrate Recovery. Anybody in here that have hurts or hang-ups or habits? And Jack Dugweiler back here, it leads us with his team, does an outstanding job. In fact, I don't know if you know this, Jack, but Christmas Eve, a guy came here. He's never been here before, never been to the Valley before, never been to our church before. But he heard that we had a Celebrate Recovery ministry, and he gave a sizable gift to Celebrate Recovery because he knows that's going to touch a lot of needy people in this area, because God helped him through Celebrate Recovery get over his anger problem. He had an anger problem. He went through a year of Celebrate Recovery. God healed his anger, blessed his family, blessed his marriage, and now he's a leader in the Celebrate Recovery ministry he has down in Texas, and he thought that is excellent. I want to give that ministry here. Praise God for that. Isn't that great? And if you've never been, they meet every Friday night, 6 o'clock, you feed people, right? And then 6:30, the meeting starts somewhere around there. If you haven't been, go just stop in, pop in and see what's going on over there. Powerful ministry. Just started that this year, 2015. So-and-so's. This is a ministry where our ladies come together and make quilts for people who are going through a crisis in their life, oftentimes hospitalization, and they need comfort. And they make quilts. All women right now, no men there yet. I know some guys who like to sew, but I'm not one. If you don't think there is a difference between men and women, watch a man try to wrap a Christmas present, okay? There's a big difference between a man and a woman, all right, normally. But we have So-and-So's is a great ministry, and Sue Jackson heads that up, and they've made many quilts this year for people who need comfort. Also, this last year, 2015, Lou Sterrett came with Sermon on the Mount. The mount is not a mountain, it's the horse, his mount. And for those of you who don't know, Lou has a tremendous ministry of teaching God's word using his relationship with his horses as an illustration of our relationship with Almighty God. And it is a powerful ministry, and it was a great outreach here in August to many people up here. And we also had him here at the church, and we had a round pen with horses out in our parking lot. Many of you remember that, and his teaching is fantastic. Boy, so many illustrations. Just as Jesus, when he was walking with his disciples, he said, look at the birds of the air, and he would use the birds of an illustration. Look at the lilies of the field. He'd use those as an illustration. Lou Sterrett here says, look at my relationship with this horse. And I'm just going to share this because there may be somebody here who's never seen his ministry. You might want to bring it to your church. But Lou takes, on the outreach night, he'll take an untamed Mustang, a horse that's never been ridden, a wild horse, and he puts it in a round pen with him inside the round pen, and he's got a speaker, and he talks to us about how that horse is just like us in our relationship to God. As soon as the horse sees Lou, the horse wants to get away from him, and he's kicking that round pen, and he doesn't like to be confined, and he wants to be out of that pen. And Lou's just walking around real quietly, you know, this horse is jumping all over the place. And he says, you know, they're just like us. This horse does not realize that it was made to submit to me. It will never be fulfilled until it submits to me. But he doesn't know that right now. And within 45 minutes, he's riding that wild Mustang, and he woos it and wins it over, just like God wins us over to come to him. It is the most powerful visual illustration of the gospel that I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, he was up here, and we had a great outreach with him. Our jail ministry, we've been going into the jail for 27 years here. But this Thanksgiving was really unique because we got so much food. Pete, where's Pete at? Pete heads up our jail ministry, and he brought his son down here to pick up the food to take to the jail. But you almost needed a U-Haul. They may still be eating that food there that we get for Thanksgiving. But what a blessing, Pete. I know he's extending that to the congregation. Thank you for your generosity. Every year we go in, we supply a Thanksgiving meal to the jail. But this year, it was really over and above. We had a lot of food. We gave it all to them, and they're enjoying that. We got some really neat thank you cards, and it's going to be in our newsletter coming up, thank you cards from the inmates that are over there. We love them. Most of the people in the county jail are people who live in our county here. They've just made bad choices, DUIs and disturbances, and they're embarrassed. Then we go in there and tell them we love them. You don't have to be embarrassed. We understand. And we give them the hope of eternal life and the hope of a new life through Christ. Also this year, again, our VBS was tremendous, Vacation Bible School. We averaged 100 kids a day and probably had 100 people, 100 volunteers putting it on. It was a tremendous, tremendous time. Always a great outreach. And following that, we have a sports camp where we get coaches to coach different sports, Christian coaches, and then we share the scriptures with the young people. I think we had about 80 there each day for our sports camp, and it's a great outreach. Thank God for all of you that have volunteered for that, but we had several decisions for Christ this last year, and that's another way to reach out to the community that we live in. So all those things have been going on just in 2015, 1 year, recounting the wondrous works of God, what he's done in our lives. Many marriages were healed this last year. Marriages that normally would be split up, they're together because each person has come before Christ and said, I forgive. I've been forgiven by you. I forgive my spouse. And we're seeing the healings come. Many new Christians. We've had, and for a small community, this is amazing, but we've had probably around 60 people come and be a part of our church in 2015. Adults and children who just moved to Grand County from all over the place. And that's an amazing thing. So you see a lot of new faces here. Yes, and here's two of them right here. Are you adjusting, Ernesto, okay to the weather? He's from Florida. So, yeah. All right. Great, my brother. We acclimate, you know. Keep the weight on. Don't go on any diets. We need the weight to keep it. That's my theory. I've been blessed with a Christian school. We have had a Christian school for over 10 years right now. Our Christian school, God has entrusted us with this school. We take very seriously the scriptures that say, fathers, do not provoke your children, but train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Instruction is education. God wants us to educate our children in godly education. And I always say this, my family, our children have been through Christian school, public school, and we homeschool for 13 years. And whatever way that you choose to educate your children, as parents, you need to be actively involved in their education, not just dropping them off and hoping for the best. It's our responsibility. And this school comes alongside to facilitate parents in training up their children. That's what our school is all about. It is the most dynamic discipleship center that we have in this church right here to reach families and students. Powerful, powerful. But this last year, we had the most students we've ever had. We had 70 students this last year in the school. We're in our 11th year right now. And I've been asked oftentimes, well, how are the kids prepared? Where do they go? Do they go on to college, or where do they go from your Christian school? Well, we strive to have a high biblical emphasis and a high academic emphasis here. We want them to be biblically sound. We want them to understand a Christian worldview. And what is our Christian worldview and how it differs from others out there? Because we're not going to lose our kids in college anymore. When some high-minded professor there is trying to get our kids to deny their faith, they're coming prepared in apologetics to be able to defend their faith to that teacher, realizing that that professor is starting at a different presupposition than we start at. We start with creation, he starts with evolution. We start with the authority of God's word, he starts with the authority of man. And because you start with different presuppositions, you end up at different points. And our kids can see through that, and they're not taken in by those worldly philosophies. That's our desire there. But they've also gone to many colleges. And some don't realize this, but kids that have graduated from our school have gone to CSU, Colorado State, DU, University of Denver. Many of them have gotten scholarships to go. The Art Institute of Colorado, the French Culinary Institute, one of our students graduated from there. Cedarville, Christian Writers Guild, University of Colorado, Cal Poly, one of our students is at Cal Poly right now. Biola, Hillsdale, two of our students are in Hillsdale now. Red Rocks Full Sail, University of Northern Colorado, my son's there right now. And no, well, he's not there right now, he's right in the back here right now, but he's there. And Metro State, Regis, some may have gone to YWAM. They're getting out there. And we want them to be trained and equipped to be led by the Lord and to excel in any area God leads them into. So praise God and for the teachers that we have in that school. Also, next year we have planned to build a new building over here. We call it a new pen for the sheep shed. The building is just a sheep shed. That's all it is. But we need a new pen because those of you who are part of our church, we are maxing this place out. We're really, it's you 7 days a week. We're kind of crawling all over each other. No more storage space. No more. We can't even find a place to have another Bible study in here without a six-month advance notice. So we need a building. We feel like God's led us to start another building. It'll be on our website so you can keep up with what's going on with the building. We have a no-debt policy here at church. We don't borrow money for anything for the church. God has blessed us right here with 35 acres of land that we have here and this building, and we never borrowed a penny. And during the time of our building, we were able to increase our missions giving 1% every year. That's our heart. And so with that building over there, we have $190,000 that has been given to start the building. Okay? So we're going to start it, and then as God provides, we'll build it. And one of the blessings that we have is that we're not in a hurry. When you're in a hurry, you borrow quickly because you want things done. But when you can wait on the Lord, you see His provision. And that's what we have been so blessed to see, God's provision. So if it's done in a year or more, we don't know, but we're going to be starting that. And the school will be able to use that as well as the church. Lastly, ministry to our church body. You know, we learned in Ephesians that we were given gifted people to help us to grow, to build up the body of Christ, to equip the saints for the work of ministry and building up the body of Christ. We had a couple things happen this year that were unique. One of them, we had 2014, 2015, but our men's retreat has now become sending our men to what's called Band of Brothers. And we've gone 2 years to Band of Brothers now, and that's held at the Cooper Creek Ranch, Crooked Creek Ranch up here. And we've taken about 18, 19 guys every year. We hope more men can come next year. It's going to be in August. Anybody here, I know, John, you've been to Band of Brothers. Anybody here been to Band of Brothers? Okay, a whole bunch of you. What would you guys say to the guys here about Band of Brothers? Some of you. Chase? Praise God. Yeah. Well worth the time spent and the money. Come no matter what. One guy in the early service said, I'm going back every year to this. You know, it has had such a big impact on our men. We have made that our men's retreat every year. $320, $320 for Thursday night through Sunday, worth every penny of it. That covers all your meals and everything. And you know, for me as a pastor, what tells me that the impact and the fruit of that ministry is good and is godly is from what the wives tell me. It's one thing that you ask a guy, how are you doing with the Lord? I'm doing fine. You say, how's he doing? The wife goes, not so good. The guy's always doing good. The wife says, he's not doing too good. But when the wives come and tell me, my husband is changing big time, that ministry has had a big impact on him. That tells me there's some great things happening there. We're going to be doing that again next August. Be thinking about that. But that happened this last year. Also, Melody Starrett, Lou's wife, had a special brunch for the ladies in a study, and that was a huge blessing for our women. Lou and Melody have been a big blessing to us. We love those two. But that happened. That was the first time we ever did anything of that, and a lot of fruit from that ministry. Also, first time that we've done this. Years ago we had this, but this last year we started up again another ministry in our church called Moms and Mentors. Moms and Mentors. And what it does is it brings together older women in the church with the younger women in the church who have families. And it's just to minister to women with young families, to be a blessing to them. We meet over at our house, and we get the older, you know, the Bible says in Titus, let the older women train the younger women. So it's a ministry to bring them together, and it's a huge blessing. Any of you ladies been over there? Okay, some of you, yep, some mentors and some moms too. That's a huge blessing. You can come each month. Started that this last year. Also this last year, we hired, the first time we've ever had, a worship minister. So Mark Miller, where's Mark? See here? There's Mark right here. Mark, it is great to have you here. And we've never had a full-time worship minister, but with Mark came his family. And that was a huge blessing because his wife, Steph, helped us in organizing our Christian school. She came back as a teacher in our school. And then Jess, sitting back here, is now a worship leader, and God has gifted him musically. So the whole family has just been a great addition to our church, and we are very grateful to God for them. Many, many other ministries to the church. If you don't have a handbook, we have handbooks for every person in our church. They're out there at the information table. It gives you all the ministries in our church. You're welcome to take one of those and to pray. We bathe everything we do here in prayer because we realize we can plan to do things, but it's only the touch of God and the Spirit of God that brings life. That's all. So we bathe everything in prayer, calling upon the Lord that whatever we do will produce lasting fruit for the kingdom of God in honor of the Lord. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You know, you will produce much fruit, which is what my Father desires. And that's where we're at. So in closing, in Christ, we have unity of spirit. We are growing in the unity of faith. and we are serving one another in the unity of ministry. And that's what we're going to continue to do this coming year. Realizing what God did last year gives us a lot of hope and confidence going into next year. Because how many think there's going to be unexpected challenges next year? We have no idea what next year holds. But we know one thing. God holds the future. And he says, don't worry about next year. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient. Walk with him every day, and God will take care of our lives. That's the blessing of being a Christian. I don't have to worry about my future. My future's in God's hands. So Mark and I and Gene were at a table talking about some things a few weeks ago, and this little slogan came up for this year: strengthen the team in 2016. That's what we want to do. We are a team. We are a family. And let's, by the grace of God, strengthen the team in 2016. So we're all on the same page of where we're going in gratefulness to God, in thankfulness to God, and fulfilling the purpose of God in our midst. Isn't God awesome? Let's bow for prayer today. We're going to close. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God Almighty, thank you. And as our worship team comes again to lead us in the final song, just think for a moment something that you are grateful for, grateful, that has happened this last year, to thank God for. Because it's so easy to forget. Lord, forgive us if we've ever neglected to come back to you and thank you for answered prayer. Or thank you for working a situation out that we didn't think was workable. Thank you for your protection over us, for your provision, Lord, for the abundance that we live here in the United States of America. We never want to take that for granted. You've been so good to us, so good. And we give you thanks, Jesus. We give you thanks. Lord God, you said you wanted your people to be filled with gratefulness and thanksgiving. And that those who seek you should rejoice in you. And we want to be those kind of people. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room or listening to this message by some other means, website or radio or whatever that might be, Lord, if they've never given their lives to you, let this be their time where they would come to Christ, embrace you as Lord and Savior. For there is salvation and healing and restoration in no one else. Your word says, only through Jesus are we restored in our relationship with Almighty God. And Lord, let them seek out Christians who will talk to them about what it means to be a follower of Christ. Thank you for this, Lord. And if you're here today, we will definitely love to talk to you about that. Lord, now receive this last song as we just lift it up to you in praise this morning. In Jesus' name.